Welcome. You are listening to Links at Bain & Gray, a catalogue of podcasts centred on all things business support in the workplace. Our aim is to bring you interesting and relevant content that will keep you up to date and thriving in your role.
Hello, I'm Cressida at Links, and today I have the great pleasure of talking to Anne-Marie G from fashion site Reloved Again. Reloved Again launched almost a decade ago.
God, can you believe it? I'm feeling it today.
And has firmly established itself as the go-to place for pre-loved fashion. Welcome.
Thank you, Cressida.
Thank you so much.
I am so happy to be here, honestly. Thank you so much.
I have known you for a long time.
You have indeed.
I know that you have enormous energy.
Well.
And I sense a real love for what you do. Have you always been in fashion?
No. So I am one of six, Irish Catholic family. My parents spent every single penny they had to educate us. And they wanted us, my dad wanted me to be a civil servant. But my mum was a little bit more understanding. So I ended up compromising. I did a business degree and then I did a master's. And to be honest, at that point in Ireland, there were no jobs. I was an immigrant. We had to leave. There were no decent jobs in Ireland when I left in the 90s. And I went to Germany. And I was lucky. A lot of the German companies at that point were starting to take on international people, and I got in at the right time. And that's what I'm saying. Sometimes timing is so important. And they took me onto the graduate trainee program, and I worked in corporate, business, finance, you know, for a long time. Really, from my early 20s until I had my son when I was, I was 38. So I worked for corporate from, a long, long time.
And what was the push? What made you change direction?
I think I always loved fashion, but instilled in me is that you have to make money. You have to be able to pay for your apartment. You have to be able to afford things. So I think
life gets in the way.
Life got in the way. And I don't really think I had, and I'm very conscious about that with my own children now. I didn't have, my parents were amazing because they gave me that work ethic, the hustle, you know, like I'm a hustler. I hustle for every single day. And I think I love people who hustle, because hustling is energy. It's like kinetic energy. When someone hustles, the energy comes off them and you want to be around them. So
did you have, was this a side hustle then? Did it start off? No,
I think when I got pregnant, I was lucky. It took me a long time to have my first child. I had him when I was 38. And then my doctor said, you've got to get pregnant straight away, otherwise you're not going to have any more. So I literally got pregnant. I had Irish twins. I had two kids under, 17 months. And I was about to go back to work. And I remember my boss coming out, going, oh, it's so exciting, you're coming back to work. And I was sitting there with two kids in nappies going, how am I going to do this? And my husband was amazing. He's like, oh my God, I'll help you. We'll get someone in. And I just realized I had waited till I was nearly 40 to have these children. And I knew the reality of my job. I loved it, but it was the glass ceiling I was at that point. It wasn't the job. It was the, who goes to what meeting, who gets what car. And I wasn't bothered anymore. I strongly feel about that a lot of women, it's not about the job. It was about the, you know, the politics. And I couldn't do the politics with the kids. That was, for me, the decider.
So what was your, how did it start? You have a relationship with
I loved
fashion
clothes.
And
I was a typical shopper. I was always on business trips. So I'd be going to Germany, going to France, and I would just stop at the airport and I would buy random stuff. And when I was earning corporate money, that was not an issue. And then suddenly I wasn't earning corporate money and I had two kids. And I looked at all the stuff I had and I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to wear this anymore. So it started really selling my own stuff. And then from that, it sort of became the churn, I call it. So by selling, I could then reinvest in something.
But also, I think you also get to a stage, don't you, where you realise
less is more.
Less is more. It's not important. You have these little children that you need to look after.
Well, I think I always loved clothes, but I think I was a chameleon. I think I was, one minute I would be in a jumpsuit and the next minute I'd be in a mini dress. And I kind of didn't have confidence, maybe. I think age, and that's why I'm not worried about, I'm 52 now. It doesn't frighten me about aging. I think I got more mature. I got more confident in my own.
Do you think you found a style as
well? I think also I found a style, but I also became more confident in myself. I didn't need to impress others. And I think I dressed for, you know, when you have a family, I had to be more realistic in what I was wearing and I had to think more. Before, I was like, it was like Pavlov's dog. I would see something, buy it. I would hoard it. most of the time I wasn't wearing it. It had tags on it. I had I liked the purchasing experience more than maybe even the item. And I think I realized that I was wasting, when I had the kids, I realized what better things I could do with the money than just, you know, when you're on your own, it's so easy, just buy it, whatever, you don't wear it. But I had responsibilities. And at that point then I kind of trusted myself more. I needed less. And it gave me, you know, I think at that point I had to get rid of what I had.
But you also, you started writing blogs to start with.
And I think the blogging...
And this is the early days of the internet.
So I used to sell my own stuff on eBay and then I blog. And why I blogged was because I travelled a lot. I always had to make an effort wherever I went to find a hairdresser or a beautician or whatever. And people used to always text me and ask me, where'd you get this? Where'd you get that? And instead of just texting, I thought, oh, I might as well just put it on, you know, put it on a blog. But it was old fashioned blogs. It wasn't blogs where you were paid to do anything. You got anything for free. It was doing. And that's what I miss now on social media. The original days of blogging was sharing your passions. And now it's just about going to Soho House. You know, and I don't follow very
turning
many.
Turning up outside the Eiffel Tower and taking a picture.
Picture is pointless. And that's why, to be honest, I very seldom do it now, because I feel, I don't think people really need people to tell them what to buy anymore. They kind of have enough stuff they can buy. It's helping them to realize that, you know, what I've learned through my business really is taking a breath. You know, life, you know, social media, life is very fast. Sometimes it's good to take a breath, take a step back, you know, trust yourself and look at what suits your lifestyle and your body shape, because that's not what social media is about. They want us to be identikit dressing. Everybody needs to have, you know, the same Celine bag, the same Loewe basket, same Gucci belt, but that doesn't suit all of us. And then we buy it, doesn't work for us. And that's kind of where, you know, where I started off blogging. And then I felt really now what I predominantly do on the blog is just giving people that confidence to sell. Some people also feel like there's still a stigma. When I started off, there was a stigma.
Pre-loved.
Yeah,
yes.
When I used to sit at tables, dinner tables with people from school. And when I was in corporate, you know, the corporate world, everyone, you know, would pay attention to you. But I remember sitting at a dinner party and some woman, it wasn't even a man, spoke to me. And I said, well, what do you do? I said, well, I do, you know, I do a bit of blogging. And she turned away. She literally turned away. And she kind of more, I could see it in her eyes. She more or less thought I was running a market store like Rodney, you know. Secondhand shop. So there's, and it really made me feel strongly about, you know, yes, I can go and buy nice things, but I choose to be savvy and smart. And if I can find it for less, that there's no stigma. That's what. And if you look at all the fashion people that I've been lucky to meet, lots of people in through school who work for magazines, they all shop secondhand. They all shop at sample sales. None of them pay full price. So I felt really strongly about all of this, that truthfully, you know, yes, you can buy the odd thing, you know, if you're a special investment piece, but the majority of things you can find in the sale, you can find secondhand. We don't need that much stuff. That's the truth. And I think
your advice is good, because you stand by what you say. Mm. You do what you
I walk the walk. Yeah, I do. I really have. And I'm very strict. Like, I get offered so many jobs to go and do Next. And not that I'm against any of those brands, but the truth is I'm 52 years of age. I've got a lot of stuff. I don't need another ruffly top. I don't need it.
Your site is impressive, because it goes from very high-end luxury brands.
And
down
we will
to
continue.
Much more affordable.
And we proactive. And it's not easy. So we... When we set this up, I wanted people to have both ends. So I wanted them to be able
there's
to
no
go.
There's no snobbery attached
no
to
snobbery.
Any of the...
I want them to be able, like, we had a lady today who was about to go to France to buy her Chanel, and she'd saved up, and it's her 50th birthday present. And she just saw this come up in her Instagram, and she was like, oh, I can't buy that from Instagram. And she's saying, well, this new Chanel bag on your site is £4,000, and I'm about to spend £8,000 plus all the money to go to Paris to buy this one. And she's like, oh, is it? I said, it's the same bag. It's, if anything, the older bags are better made. So I think I want people to be able to have luxury at every end of the spectrum. I want them to be able to pick up. So, you know, another thing I'm passionate about is really high street. And I do buy the odd thing from H&M, but more or less I've stopped buying from the odd T-shirt. Absolutely. you know, mid-level brands, I don't buy anything from them because
it's fast fashion.
It's mid-level brands are kind of like Zara, which is marketed better. And I know that because I sell them all day long. And I just say to people, if you want a Zadig and Voltaire, you know, if you want one piece, fine. But you'll find the same dress, you'll find the same blazer, the same trousers, me and Em, all of them, secondhand, instead of paying 150, you'll pay 40. And you'll get bored of it the same way you'll get bored of the new one. So it is about allowing people to go up the brand ladder. I want people, instead of having to buy, you know, Zara, they can get M&M. And instead of buying M&M, they can afford to buy, you know, Gucci. And that's kind of what I'm passionate about.
But have you got any tips on what to look out for when you're buying really loved?
Yes, measurements. That is a mistake people do. They don't measure themselves. So take your measurements, put them on your phone, under your arms, your waist, inside leg, your hip measurements. And every single time you see something, if the measurements are not online, ask for the measurements and be realistic. If it's not going to fit, don't buy it. Condition. Do not buy things which are, you know, it's fine if you just want, if you're 25 years old and you're, you know, and you want that kind of boho look, fine. If you're a grown ass woman, you need fresh things because you know what? I need all the help I can get. You can't go around in kind of like half worn clothes because, you know, how do I say this in a nice way? I'm tired, right? So I need fresh. I need fresh things. So condition is important. Measurements are important and returns. If they don't accept returns, don't buy it because you never know. You don't want to be stuck with stuff that isn't what it doesn't fit you. You don't like it. Our shop accepts returns. Any decent pre-loved seller will accept returns. Yeah. And if they don't, honestly, it's not worth buying from them because you don't know whether it's fake. You don't know whether it'll fit you or not. So there are my, and also my other thing is aim high. People go after the same brands. They go after Zadig, go after Ferragamo, go after Alberto Ferretti, go after the sort of top end luxury brands, which are not as popular because you'll end up with a cashmere coat from Alberto Ferretti for less than French Connection because people don't go after it. Mm. So look, be adventurous
on
the brands.
Are they investment pieces? Do they really, yes, they keep their value and they resell so they can sell them back to you?
You've got two different ways to go. You've got the pieces that when I buy something now, I buy it for two. One, because I absolutely have to have it and I love it. And I don't care whether because I'm not ever going to resell it because I want it. And who cares then, you know? But that's like 1% of what I buy. The majority of things I buy. So I've got a Prada bag here. You can't see it, but hopefully next time we'll be able to do a video. And when I bought it, I spent, bought it from my own shop, 325, I think. I knew when I bought that when I come to sell it in a year's time, I'll get my money back for it. So to be honest, I am very conscious, and you should be as well, that if you're looking for a Ghani dress secondhand, and if you're paying £150 for it, you're paying too much because you can, you know, unless it's a sold out silk version, fabrics, look at the label. I got taught that by one of my best friends, Shanaz. Look for labels. Don't buy viscose if you can avoid it. Buy silk, buy cotton, wool, you know, those are the things to look out for. So look at your labels, measure yourself, and look outside the box of the typical brands that people go for.
Do you have any advice for the younger generation that are working in offices now?
Oh, we have so many.
Post-COVID, that are having to have a wardrobe, which they
haven't had.
Oh,
my God. We have, most of our clients are sort of 25 to 35, and a lot of them work in offices like this in Soho, and they have a lot of events and they have to keep, and some of them rent, but what they're finding with rental is a lot of the clothing is very worn and it looks a bit shabby. And when they come to an event, they're kind of, well, this looks a bit worn and used. So they're kind of coming to us looking at event wear, particularly they're looking at skirts, things that like a Joseph skirt, where if they went into Joseph, they would have to spend $270. Whereas they'll go, you know what, that pencil skirt is, you know, 50, 60 pounds. I'm going to dress it down. I'm going to dress it with a beautiful t-shirt or a white vest and my trainers. And I have that grown up look because I've got that Joseph piece that kind of anchors my whole look, rather than going and buying a Zara skirt. So they might have a Zara blouse, but they want a really beautiful pair of trousers from anyway Bash, but they don't want to spend £250. So they'll have, you know, mixing and matching is really important. And getting good basics. Like I always say, avoid black trousers, buy navy ones. Because the minute you put black trousers on, there's always that danger you go into the kind of waitress territory.
It looks a bit cheaper, doesn't it?
Yeah. Navy trousers, you can find them all over the pre-loved market. Skirts, don't go for a black pencil skirt. Go for a lovely patterned one. Because again, a patterned one with a lovely white t-shirt looks beautiful. And dresses, like I always say, dresses are a fortune and they're the easiest things to buy because you measure your underarm, you measure your waist. We have so many event dresses and they fly out because people go, I've got a wedding to go to. And when you're in your 20s and early 30s, it's wedding season. You know, and they all go to Ghani and they want, and they have this. And the problem is by buying secondhand, you're not going to have the same dress as every single person will have at that wedding because they'll go into Ghani and they buy the dress and you spend £280-300 on a dress that three other women have at the wedding. Buy the prior season and buy the silk one for the same price as the other girls will have the viscose one. And that's, you can buy Ghani, Rixel, all of those brands secondhand.
Is there anything that you stay away from? What would you not resell?
I don't fur. I mean, we're very careful now. I mean, if we have a piece, we won't put it online. We won't, we may, you know, if it's a really good client, but we won't market it because it upsets people. And I understand that. So we don't want to upset anybody and we won't buy, we will not take any of the kind of internet fur. It has to be vintage or it has to be something which is ethically sourced. That we're very careful on. I think the other thing we're very careful on is like pencil. You know, you cannot sell a shift dress for life, no money. Even though they probably will come back, you know. The truth is, Hailey Bieber will probably wear one with sliders next week. And then we'll all be in our shift dress. And also careful with Bicester Village. Like we get a lot of people who've bought very expensive Gucci bags at Bicester Village. People know them by the numbering. So, you know, you can't say, you know, you might have spent £1,000 and then the new price is, it's not because, you know, Bicester Village has its own manufacturing. So again, be when you're buying a bag, you know, ask the seller, where was it bought? Because it was bought at Bicester Village. You're not going to, you know, don't pay the same amount as if it was bought from the Gucci store in Bond Street. So that's what I would say.
Tell me about your support. Tell me about the people that you employ.
Oh, my God. I could not do it. I, you know, and this is the kind of message I want to bring across that when you start your own business, you know, don't think about, oh, my God, this person has a huge office. I have the tiniest office. Like, literally, it's like, I would say it's like a hellhole. But it's close to my home and it works for me. And also, I love my staff so much that they have children now and they need to get to their schools, which are around the corner. So the team I have, we are all passionate about. We all buy secondhand. So we're all obsessed about the deal. We're all like, all we do all day is, oh my God, I can't believe they spent that much money on it. If I went to Depop, I would get it for this. We love clothes. We're obsessed by clothes and we talk about clothes all day. And that is a joy. And they work hard like me. And we are all learning. I learn from them and hopefully they learn from me. And I feel like we are building, we're growing hugely. We're one of probably the biggest now online retailers with no, we don't spend money on marketing, advertising, because if we did, we would have to pass the money on to. And this is what people forget. If someone has a fancy office or crazy amount of influencers, you're paying for that freebie, right? So we don't do that because we would rather give you low prices and low commission rates.
And how did you find your community? Was it initially through friends and family and it grew?
I think really it's important to go with your gut instinct and be ready to train people, you know, be ready to be patient because they have to be patient with me. I'm not perfect, but be patient. I'm a much better employer. When I was at court, I was awful. God help the people who used to work for me. I was so impatient. I was so demanding and I didn't listen. Now I'm a listener. I listen to them because sometimes they're telling me something and I'm busy and I'm half. And then I go home and I go, you know what? They're absolutely right.
Right. Yeah.
Listening is so important. And because they're doing the day to day job, so they know it better than me. And listening and also not, you know, like trying to like getting frustrated. Last week I was so frustrated with social media. and I'm sure lots of small businesses are the same, or even if you run a big business. And then I listen to my son, I'll be very honest with you, who says, Mummy, you can get all the apps you like, right? You can download all the filters you like. But the truth is, what people want is message, truth, content. Content is king, you know? And yes, you have to learn a few of the bits and pieces, but truthfully,
I think what's very impressive about you is you are very present daily on your sites.
Yeah.
And you share your knowledge, which I think is invaluable. I think you're reaching out to like-minded women.
Hopefully.
I think so.
I hope so.
Yeah, I think so. I think that that you've been around long enough that we trust you.
There's no point, because we have returns policy. That's what I say to people. And I say to the people who give us stuff, and we had it last week, we had a lovely lady with the most amazing taste, and she gave us the stuff, and she's like, I want this. And I said, you're not going to sell it for that. I said, fine, we'll try it. And then she came back to me after a week and said, you know what, Amory, you're right. I want it sold. It's left my house. I don't want it anymore. So, you know, we've got no interest.
It is hard letting go of stuff. And that's actually another piece of advice that you give.
Let it go. And I think also we all get bored, and it's not a sad, you know, people have made shopping. I'm not one of those evangelical kind of like no shopping thing. I am an obsessive compulsive shopper and I love shopping. But I have learned to spend 90% of my time researching. So that's the one thing I would say to people, that spend less time with the press by and enjoy the journey. Like, what I've taught people, I think, is, you know, like the old days, you would go with your friends into town, you spend hours wandering around the shops. Yeah. None of us do that because we're too busy.
Don't do it anymore, yeah.
And there's no stock, right? Yeah. So even if you do go to shops, they don't have any stock. So what I say is treat virtual shopping like those old days. You know, go to different sites, toy with the item, put it in your basket, leave it in your basket. Get one in, one out.
One in, one out.
I am radical. Yeah. And also I mess it up all the time still. So I used to have, I would say 50% of what I bought was rubbish. Now it's like maybe 5%. And the difference is now I put it straight online. And you know what happens when I make mistakes, when I don't measure, when I go shopping to places with other people, when I get influenced.
Buying at 9 o'clock at night.
Buying at 9 o'clock. That's also okay. But like the other day, I was looking at this beautiful influencer who I love. She's amazing. But she was wearing a boiler suit. Now, I have sold probably 5 of them and I should know better. But I could almost feel myself going, oh, my God, I want a boiler suit. I want. And then I stopped myself and I said, no, I'm going to wait. Pressing pause button, admiring someone. I've learned to admire someone in something, but realize it's not for me. Right. You know, finding a uniform. And again, someone told me this, and she works at Vogue. And she said, Anne-Marie, one thing I would tell you, know, I said, what's your wisest thing? And she said to me, Anne-Marie, dress like a man. She didn't mean physically like a man.
No, I know what you mean, though.
She said, yeah, your attitude to clothing should be like a man. They buy one good suit, right? And then
it's the shape.
And then you don't see men in dungarees and rah-rah skirts and paperback trousers. Why? Because all that stuff is ridiculously impossible for normal women to wear. It's just, it's crazy. Men don't do that. They buy beautiful shirts and a lovely cashmere. Same. And
elegant.
Elegance. Yeah. But then you can still have a bonkers beautiful, you know, pair of shoes or a crazy coloured sweater. I don't mind. I don't think you have to be boring. But
I think your point about re-loved shoes, yeah, really struck a note with me when you said, look on eBay for high-end luxury brands, because these shoes have only been worn once.
That's it. And it's the same as the shop. Your shop, that one shoe has been tried on 100 times. Mm. And sometimes, you know, they've been returned and they've, you know, but I do feel that simplicity. And also having a uniform, which is not, I used to think, oh, that's so boring, but it makes my life easier. I know that boyfriend shirts look good with me. I've decided I never wore jeans. Now I've found the style of jeans that works for me. You know, coats as well. I used to love all those long coats, but realistically, when I pull a trolley up and down the King's Road with all my returns, it doesn't work.
Which so you are still doing.
I do. I still pull my trolley up and down the King's Road. Because I want to know that my returns come back safely, so I send them to my house. I wear bomber jackets because I can move and I feel young in them. So that's kind of really... And also, the other thing I would say to all of you is look at your wardrobe. I was so frightened of it because it is scary, because you're forced to look at things you've spent a lot of money on. And it's it's irrelevant how much money, and this is what I say to all my sellers, you know, they go, oh, I spent, oh. I said, it doesn't matter. You know, you spent that, it doesn't fit you, you don't like it, you're better off. And I think of when you sell 20 things, right? Sell 30 things and think of it as an amount of money that allows you to reinvest in one beautiful handbag or one lovely purse. I say to people now, you know, lovely keyring that you use every day. People don't think about the things they use every day. You know, sell all the stuff and reinvest in one beautiful piece of jewelry or a, you know, a lovely blazer, and you will feel better about yourself. And opening up that wardrobe and seeing all that stuff is exhausting. I mean, I haven't got the energy.
So I was going to ask you what the future is.
I think the future is, and I've future for me is bigger. You know, we're not bigger. It's like we were just talking about it, like bigger office. We don't want to have a retail because we don't feel that's, you know, eventually we'd love people to be able to make an appointment and come and see us, because I think that's important for big purchases. Mm. But I think it's lifestyle. I want to have it so that we can sit on the sofa, talk to you guys. We want to be able to have like a table and sit down and say, you know, this is how big the handbag is compared to, you know, just having it more, less of a retail and more of, this is how the item works on it. This is how it looks when you sit down. This is how it looks when you hold the handbag, when you put, you know.
So more one-to-one with your clients.
Yeah. And also making the virtual, at the moment our office is so small, so the virtual experience is quite cramped. We struggle with a more representative sizes. Now we have done a huge push, and thank the Lord, we're getting more representative size, because our most common sizes are the biggest sellers are 16s and 14s.
Yeah.
It is impossible to sell a size 6. We have gone out there and handpicked 14s, 12s, 16s, and now we're looking for 18s, because we want to be able to have a wider range. So what we're looking to now is we want to partner with brands. So where they have returns, where they have items which they haven't sold, we want to work with brands. So if there are any brands out there who are listening, you know, we are looking, because we market it well. And also I don't understand brands who do fire sales on their website. When you expect someone to spend £300 on a dress when you're selling it for 70, no one's going to do it. So we're saying to them, give it to us. We will sell it for you. And then whoever's buying new is only seeing the higher value at eye. So it's trying to partner with brands to bring in stock, which allows them to keep their site for their new
stock. And I also know that you are also very supportive of your charity, local charity shops, the Red Cross.
We worked, you know, with all of the charity shops, they struggle. And we give them, like, we're the biggest supplier to Trinity Hospice, to the Samaritans, all of those. They rely on us, and we give them regular stock. Our sellers are happy because they don't have to go to this. We pick it all up. So, you know, we have an online form. It's easy. We pick up from your house, you know, or if you're outside London, we send you an envelope. So you don't have to do anything. So it's easy. You know, it's easy peasy. This is our latest thing. So we're going to take a stall in Portobello.
That's
once
exciting.
A month, and to do it for a charity. So anything we can't sell, we're going to do that.
What a good idea, yeah.
Because we want to get out and about. We're a bit bored being inside. The weather's getting better. And someone said to us that, you know, you can apply for the stall, and then we're going to do a sale. So all of the proceeds of the items then will be able to go to whatever charity, because we need to. We have to do that. We have to give back.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Cressida. It's been Please lovely. Have me back anytime.
We will. Thank you so
please,
much.
And honestly, look pre-love first, and really, really important as well, trust yourself. You know, you know what suits you. Don't listen to anyone else. And also
clear out
and spend 80% of your time. Enjoy your purchasing journey. We're too fast. Take a step back.
Good
Enjoy,
advice.
Take a cup of tea, glass of wine, and just peruse the websites. Enjoy it and ask questions.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care.